Welcome to the Bethany Hour with Pastor Richard Adams and Pastor Tim Reed. Join us as we look into the book of Luke.
This world has nothing for me. This life is not my own. I know you go before me and I am not alone. This mountain rises higher. Seems so unclear, but I know that you go with me, so I will never fear. I will trust in you. Whatever will come our way, through fire or pouring rain, oh, we won't be shaken. No, we won't be shaken. Whatever tomorrow.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed looking into the book of Luke. Those of you that have following the doctor is in, Dr. Luke.
He's in the house, and there's no copay.
That's pretty funny, because every time you look at your medical policy, copays go up. So with Dr. Luke, I wonder what they paid doctors in those particular days. I wonder if they got paid like in silver coins or something. Sometimes maybe a good meal. I don't know.
But chickens.
Chickens. Gave them a chicken. But Dr. Luke, he has become an author, and he's written, of course, you know, Luke in the book of Acts. And so we're really excited about looking into the book of Luke. We're coming to a close to the book of Luke because we're in chapter 24, and you're not going to find chapter 25.
There's not one there.
No. And Acts is still being written today, but that's a whole nother story.
Now, a lot of people think that when Luke wrote his gospel, he also wrote Acts at the same time, because there's kind of a natural flow. He's writing to the same guy, Theophilus. We find that out. And so some, you know, people think that he wrote both of them together, or probably within a narrow time frame.
So we're looking in chapter number 24, verse number 33. It says, they got up. And that's a pretty good way to start, I guess, for this for today. They got up. That's one of the hardest things in life sometimes is getting up.
Oh,
once
man.
You're up, you're okay, but getting up can be a problem.
You know, as I get older, and I had a big birthday this year.
Happy birthday.
I turned 50 earlier in the year.
60's the black balloon.
I'm telling you, you know, 50, everybody said, you turn 50, the body falls apart. It's like, man, you know, my left foot's hurting, my neck is aching, you know, and just to get out of bed
just
in the morning.
To get up.
It's tough.
So Luke, he's a doctor, and he says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Now, of course, we know he's talking here, for those of you who've been following, is the two men on the way to Emmaus, and they are walking on the road to Emmaus, and they're actually walking with Jesus, and they don't even know it.
Yeah.
And when Jesus begins to speak to them about the Old Testament scriptures and how the things that were going to happen to the Son of God were told prophetically to the prophets of old, and then he all of a sudden stops with them, and he has, like, breaking of bread, and then their eyes are open and they understand it's Jesus. And so they get real excited about this.
Yeah.
And now they're heading back for Jerusalem. And when they got up that morning, I can imagine they were really excited when they got up. I mean, they were probably walking a little depressed to Emmaus. Now all of a sudden, man, they're excited.
You know, Jesus just opens their eyes to the Old Testament scriptures, what the prophets have said, that the Messiah had to suffer these things and then enter into his glory. And then he breaks bread, and then he disappears. He makes himself known, and then he disappears.
That's
and they
amazing.
Look at each other, and they're like, it's him. It was him.
He was with us.
And now he's gone. And so they're sitting at the table, and they don't sit at tables like we do, I think, in the Middle East.
Sit down.
They're on the ground. They got
cushion.
Up.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like, okay, I think I'll get up now. You know, I'm sure they shot up.
Yeah, and they were heading for Jerusalem. And they got up, and they were heading back to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Now, I would imagine that for your life, you know, when you have an open experience, when your eyes are open and you begin to understand spiritually and you begin to grasp things in your very innermost being, all of a sudden the reality of who you are, that you're created in the image of God, that you have a heart that God has given to you now, and that you have a life that has sort of been changed and renewed, and you have a whole new purpose, and all of a sudden now you have a spring in your step. And there's something that happens in your life, and that's what happened to these guys. And they're from going from a depressed way, walking away from Jerusalem, now they're extremely exciting, heading back towards Jerusalem because they want to tell the story.
You know, it's an awesome thing. There's a sermon that I want to preach, or a series of sermons I want to preach, called Signposts on the Road with Christ, or something along that line. But we all have to have a garden experience, like the Garden of Eden, and there's different spots that we have to go through, and we all have to go back to Jerusalem. We all have to go to Jerusalem, stare at the cross, figure that out, and then the empty tomb. We all have to go to the empty tomb. And these guys had just experienced the empty tomb, and they were depressed. But then when they saw the living Jesus, and when they realized that Jesus is who he said he was, it turned their life around. And now they're headed back to Jerusalem again to tell the story. And we all have to have those moments in our life when we come face to face with the reality, hey, in the Garden of Eden, I'm a sinner. And in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sins. And now I get to tell people about it.
You could call it Route 33.
Ooh.
33 years of Jesus' life, you could call it Route 33, like
That's
Route
good,
66.
Like Route 66.
You could call it Route 33. Probably sell just because of
I'm
the title.
I'm telling you, that's a good one.
It's a good sign. The sign's on Route 33.
Yeah.
So they got up and they returned at once.
Yeah.
And they were found. And there they found the 11. And with and those with him assembled together and saying, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, there's an exclamation point right there. You know, sometimes we read scripture and it's like, it is true. The Lord is risen. No, but it was like you said, man, there's some excitement in their voices. They've just ran. They're out of breath. They've run the several miles that they needed to get back there. And they find these guys and they're screaming, it is true. We've seen him. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And they were looking for the 11. They were really looking because, you know,
yeah.
Judas is gone. There's 11 now. So they were looking for the 11 of the disciples, and they were telling him it's true. The Lord has risen, and he appeared to Simon. Mm. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Yeah. It must have been awesome in that upper room, in that experience. There must have been more than just the 11, because I'm sure many times they ate with Jesus, and so these two here ate with Jesus as well. And so they knew how he broke the bread, how he prayed. They had seen it so many times, and now their eyes were open to it, and it was confirmation. The important thing about this passage of Scripture is it's confirmation. We have eyewitnesses. These men are eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus was crucified, died on a cross, buried in a tomb, and came back to life. These are eyewitness accounts of that story, of that fact.
I wonder how many people, if during the communion service, when bread is being broken and their eyes were open, that they recognized what God had done for them.
Yeah.
I hear it happening now and then in communion services, yeah. And I think that it is a tangible expression that we can actually understand his broken body and his shed blood. And they grasped this when they saw the resurrected Lord. Amazing.
Yeah, you know, it was a promise that Jesus kept, and Jesus is all about keeping his promises, that the blood he shed was for the sins of the world.
Now, next scripture verse is really amazing to me, because while they were still talking about this, they're talking about this wonderful adventure they had, sawing Jesus and everything, and, you know, of course, they said, it's true, it's true, it's true. Then all of a sudden, Jesus himself stood among them, and he said to them, peace be with you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's so cool to me. You know, you think about him coming back to life, his body breathing again in that tomb. He was buried on Friday, came back to life on Sunday morning. And obviously, he literally came back to life. But then, after that, he's entered into this glorious relationship with God. You come back to life. There's something supernatural that happens. And now he's able to appear and disappear, to move from one place to another. I mean, this is supernatural stuff that is happening that we can only say is of God. And so here he is utilizing and being able to. Now, he was God, and he's able to do omnipotent
type stuff.
Yeah,
he's outside of time and space. He's out of time.
Yeah, so this doesn't surprise me.
No, yeah. He's not confined to time, and he's not confined to space, so he just all of a sudden is standing among them.
There he is.
And of course, it says they were frightened, thinking they saw a ghost.
Right.
But here, and I had mentioned this in a message before, that Jesus had taught his disciples, he says, whenever you go anywhere, the first thing you should do is when you go inside a house, if they recognize you and they say, come into this house, then you speak peace into this house.
Yeah.
And so Jesus here now, the first thing he does is when he comes into this house, the first thing he does is what he had already told them that they should be doing, is to speak peace into the house. So he seeks peace be with you. And the idea being that you have peace within you. The Prince of Peace is within you. Wherever you go, when you release that peace, you can actually watch it, like the dove that came when Noah let the dove out of the ark, and it rested on the tree, and it's a sign of peace with this olive branch in the dove's mouth. And so there's a sign of when the Holy Spirit, you release it wherever you go. When you see that peace rest on somebody, maybe somebody else rejects it, but somebody else receives it. So now you can focus on that person who received it, and you can actually speak into their life, and you can have an opportunity to share the good news. So he's speaking peace, because these people were startled. They were frightened because they thought they saw a ghost. And sometimes when you talk about Jesus, you see some people, they immediately reject it.
Yeah.
They back away. This is too weird for me. I don't want anything to do with this. And there's somebody else, they want to hear more. Right. They're ready to hear more.
Receptive.
They're
receptive,
like you mentioned. And so here, that's what he's kind of demonstrating to them, what he had taught them earlier to do. He does the same thing, hoping, I guess, that no longer are they going to be filled with fear, thinking it's a ghost, but the peace of God now is going to be released upon their life. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Why does it rise, this doubt, in your mind? Look at my hands and look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost doesn't have flesh and bones, as you see I have.
Yeah.
Now, this is an interesting thing because I never thought much about this. But here, he's saying he's got flesh and he's got bones, and yet he still can come and go.
Yeah, he's still got that supernatural power.
There's something supernatural here. Yeah. There's something that's really, he's got flesh, he's got bones, but boom, 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 the spirit overcomes everything.
Yeah, it just blows me away. These people hearts, they were troubled. They were nervous that they saw him die, they saw him buried. Now he's talking about coming again. Now we have guys coming into the room saying he's appearing and disappearing. What are these guys talking about? This must have been like, oh my, what do we believe? What do we not believe?
How
and then he
believe?
Appears and he says peace. And we said something earlier about being depressed. Our spirits worn down, and so many people today are battling depression. They're so worn down. They, life has just unfolded not in the way they wanted it to. And especially for these guys can relate because they didn't want to see Jesus die. And so when life just unfolds in such a way that you are so burdened, Jesus can come in and he can speak that peace that you talked about, which is so vitally important for us.
He is. And he's not pie in the sky because he's actually there among them. He's in flesh and he's in bones, and he's actually there among them. And he says, touch me. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Touch me and see. Touch me. So you actually can sense his presence.
Yeah.
And some people that say, well, you can't. You certainly can. You can sense his presence. And that's what Jesus says, touch me. He even says in other places, taste and see that the Lord is good. So here, these disciples are having an opportunity to actually experience the reality of a risen Savior.
Isn't that awesome?
That is awesome.
And I'm teaching a Sunday school class series called In Christ, and it's all about the relationship that we have in Christ. At Bethany Assembly of God, we don't preach a religion. We preach a relationship.
That's
we talk
key.
About a man who was God and who was human, who's flesh and bones, who that you can have an intimate, personal relationship with, and you can touch him. I've heard so many stories of people coming into this church, people from other denominations, other faiths, and they walk into this church that has been, this Bethany's been in existence over 110 years, and it's been dedicated to the glory of God. People come in here, and they say, the minute they walk on into the building or onto the campus, they can sense that there's something different. They can sense the presence of God. And I'm telling you, it is just like what these people felt when they actually could touch and see him. But you can come in here and there is a response
there's a presence in your
own body and in your spirit that you know that you're in the presence of God.
Yeah, and it's true. And the problem comes in life is that you really never know who you are until the Creator himself helps you to understand who you are.
Yeah.
You become a child of God when Jesus comes into your life.
Amen.
Up until then, the enemy is lying to you. He's saying all these things that happened to you, that you're worthless. Your past is controlling you. Mm-hmm. You're no longer under the control of your past when you have a new heart and
Amen.
A new life when Christ comes into your life. And then that relationship you mentioned you have with Jesus, now he's able to speak to you and help you. When you start feeling depressed or you start feeling like you have no worth, he comes in and he says, no, I died for you. I love you.
Yeah.
You are worth so much. I have loved you and I've loved you and I've loved you and
Isn't
I've loved
amazing?
You and I've always loved you. And you're the apple of my eye and I just love you. And I mean, to have that kind of understanding about yourself gives you the ability to overcome obstacles in your life. Otherwise, so many people run to everything you could think of. They run to drugs, they run to fame, they run to anything you could think of. They run to, but really they're trying to run from themselves.
They truly are. And when you are able to recognize Christ for who he is, when you are able to recognize...
And he helps you understand who you are.
He will, and the lights come on. I keep saying that over and over again, but you walk out of darkness...
Into the light.
Into the light, and there's so much that goes into that, that even in a lifetime, even in our lifetime, I don't think we will be able to fully comprehend the light and walk in the light. I really don't think we can, but it's awesome to do.
Yeah, I think the Bible helps us understand that when we get to heaven, there's a period of time where the Bible says there's like 30 minutes of complete silence.
Yeah.
It's like a complete awe.
Yeah.
Nothing you can say. There's nothing you can think. Oh. There's nothing that you could ever do at that moment that could help you to truly understand what God has done for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome that you can't speak.
I've been in services like that where the presence of God
amazing.
Is just so rich. You can't even talk.
Yeah.
If you tried to, you can't. Yeah.
So when he had said this, when he said that you could touch me, I'm not a ghost. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now, why would he show them his hands and feet? I mean, what is this thing? Is it? Yeah. See, I clean my hands. Look at my feet. Look at
yep,
my feet.
Clean
They're
feet.
Clean. No, that's not the reason.
The nails.
There's
an old song, three nails. You know, one in the right hand, one in the left, you know, one in the feet. I don't know if they just used one for the feet. But,
probably just one, right through both.
You know, but three nails, 3 days, one way to God, and it's the person of Jesus Christ. And so he had to show them those hands and feet because they saw him nailed.
Yeah.
You know, and there were a lot of false teachers out that came after this that said, oh, no, he wasn't in a body. God couldn't clothe himself in flesh. Here it is, man. He says it. He says it right here.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So he shows them the hands, the scars, and the feet, the nails. And then it says, the Bible says, and while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? So now here's an amazing thing. Yeah. They still do not believe it.
They're filled with joy and amazement. They're not afraid anymore, but they're still not on the belief train
they're
yet.
They're not on the train yet. So now, this is so amazing to me that here is the resurrected Christ.
Yeah.
He's got the hands to prove it. He's got the holes in his hands, the holes in his feet. And yet he says, let me tell you one more thing.
Yeah.
I'd like something to eat.
Yeah. I'm hungry. He's a good Assemblies of God guy.
He knows how to eat. But there's something to be said about the fellowship and eating.
There is.
There's something to be said about the joy. We love to eat at Bethany. Come on down. We'll have a dinner with you all the time. We have all kinds of great meals
Wednesday
here.
Night, 5 o'clock, we have family dinner. Come on down.
Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We hope that you can come to services. This Sunday, we got Andre Van Zyl. He's from South Africa, a great prophetic preacher. He's going to be with us for Sunday night. Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Come join us. You will enjoy hearing God's word. God bless you. Have a great day.